Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Oz. No ear tickling here, just what we need to prepare for the battle.
¡Miren! ¡Miren! ¡Allá! ¡Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another show of Preparing for Battle. I'm your host, Rod, and we have Dorothy with us tonight, and we have a guest with us as well, Daryl, Pastor Daryl Mosley. He has a New Beginnings Church down in Louisiana, and we'd like to bring him on and get the show rolling here. Thank you for coming back on the program. It's been a long time since you've been gone for a long time. Actually, it's been a couple of months since you've been on the program. But before we start, if we could ask Pastor Daryl to pray for us, that'd be great.
I sure will. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, dear Lord, and want to give you all the glory and honor. Lord, we ask for your wisdom and your understanding, and that you just reveal to us, dear Lord, what you would have us understand in this day and season and this hour that we are in. Lord, we ask that this radio show go forth to plant the seeds of preparation in the hearts of those who have ears to hear. And we thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen. All right. Well, like I said, you know, it's been a while since you've been on the program, and there's lots to talk about. I mean, there's lots going on. There's a lot more things going on than since the last time you were with us, so let's just get started. I kind of want to go in the direction of what's actually taking place as of, like, today and how you see it, and what is your church, is your church responding to what's taking place and right now, and are they, you know, or are you getting more questions now than before, or you know, are more people, you know, wanting to get in, or more people leaving? What's your take on these things?
Well, first of all, I'm honored to be on your show, and I thank you for inviting me back and putting up with me, because I'm one of them Louisiana boys from the boot down here, and sometimes, you know, people have a hard time. Sometimes even understanding our language down here, because we talk a little different, you know. And also, there are people that, you know, they get offended when the truth comes forth. So there are those leaving, but there are those new ones coming. So we got both at the same time. The scripture says you'll have a great falling away, but also there will be a great harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we are right on the verge of both. Because we are seeing things every day that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, but I think I kind of got a bittersweet kind of deal, or the way I'm feeling, because it's a excellent time to be alive. But on the same token, you know, we know this is you know where we've been residing now for how long, and you know, we see the good in it, and we see that being taken away. Or I should say, I see that being taken away, because there's a lot of awesome things about how beautiful God's creation is here. And I mean, I couldn't even imagine what it's like, you know, in heaven or the place that He has prepared for us. But like I said, on the same token, it's wow, you know, this has been your home for how many years, and you know, you see it being ruined by evil. because evil is greedy, and they want power and they want, you know, all these things, and I don't know, it just makes you sick. It's just like reading about Israel, you know, in Isaiah. It's just black and white. You can see it. It's just following suit all the way through.
True. And for evil to be in leadership like they are becoming now, it has to be something spiritually happening in prophecy, because God, it says in Daniel chapter 2, he's the one that raises up kings and puts kings down.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that's why we can be secure and have the faith and peace in our hearts that Jesus Christ is still on the throne and in control, even though it looks pretty dark outside.
Right, right. But on the same token, if people have put him there because of the way man has
wickedness.
It has just, I mean, and you hear people say, well, you know, Babylon, the spirit of Babylon is over America, but it's like they're all here. Gomorrah's here. Babylon's here. I mean, it's like all here.
That's what Jesus said it would be like, too. As such as the days were in Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. So he laid it out there for us, and that's exactly what's happening in our day. That's the reason why it's exciting to the spirit part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the physical part of us is going to go through some things, and we see these things happening, and they're lining up for complete control over humanity. That right there is kind of a bittersweet thing, is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because even though we know the Lord's going to be with us and he's going to pour out like never before, there's going to be a latter rain anointing that is going to be amazing on the saints. We still will have to walk by faith and not by sight. That can be hard
definitely.
For America, especially us in America, because we've been spoiled in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
We've had freedom to do many things for many years, but now the freedoms are being taken away.
Bit by bit, yeah.
Kind of like Jesus gave me this scripture earlier. And it actually goes, did you name your show 1159?
Yeah.
Well, it actually goes with that. You want me to read it?
No, go ahead.
It's Luke chapter 22, verse 52 and 53. It's right when they come and got him. And Judas had betrayed him. It says, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth not no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. You see what he's saying? That he had freedom of what America calls freedom of religion, but he had freedom to speak for a certain season. He had freedom to preach and teach and heal the sick and raise the dead. But then there came a time when their hour and their power of darkness was allowed to happen. And that's exactly where we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, now they're going to come after us like we're thieves. And they're going to come after us like we've committed a crime. That's what the future holds, but it also holds the power of God like you've never seen before. It won't be sitting on the pew singing three or four songs and being bored to death for 30 minutes and then going to eat lunch somewhere. America hadn't seen what's coming to the Christian church.
No, and you remember back when you were growing up, you know, in the 80s and, you know, late 70s and 80s, you remember how the days felt? I mean, I know that everybody was all caught up in there, but did you ever notice how the days felt, the sun felt differently on your face and you could lay in the grass and you just felt like you were protected? I don't know. I felt that way. Okay. But if you go out today, and you feel around you, if you just do the same thing, you lay in the grass, you feel a sun on your face, it doesn't feel the same. It's like you want it to, but it can't. You know, and I see people, you know, I look around and I see people and I see their faces and I see how things, how they are, and I don't know. It's just, wow, people today, they're so different from when I grew up, and I'm not trying to mean to see, I don't mean to seem down or anything, but, and I'm not. It's just that I don't get how they're not feeling it. You know what I mean? And maybe they're feeling it, they just ignore it. You know, when you talk about this stuff, I was talking about it to my mom this morning, and she said to me, well, the Lord has, the Lord said to look up. And I said, but Mom, in Ezekiel, it says that Isaiah says, let the watchman declare what he sees. But in Ezekiel, it says, you know, if you're a watchman and you know things, you know, and you don't sound the horn, that blood's on your hands.
Because I was saying,
you know, why don't you come listen to the show? And because she had told me that the volcano in Italy had erupted, and I said, well, yeah, I know. I said, well, you know, you got to watch out for the Pope over there. And she said, why? And I was trying to explain to her, and she didn't get it. She was like, why are you worried about this stuff? You're supposed to be looking up. And I'm like, but you're supposed to be sounding alarm. You're supposed to be letting other people know. And she, no, you're supposed to, as she put it, she said, you're supposed to look up. The Lord, she said, I don't have to worry because he's got me. And I'm like, huh? And the conversation had to stop at that point because I didn't want it to go any further and spawn into something. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just interesting how a lot of people in the church take that attitude. It's like, how could you not want to? Well, you're just going to stand there? I mean,
this is what's been taught, I would say, for the last 50 to 75 years, and that's one reason why people feel this way and think this way. However, Jesus gave us complete different instruction, and you can also find it in 1 Peter. We're supposed to be diligent and vigilant. And if you look up those words, diligence is, you know, definitely digging into the word and being watchful in prayer. But vigilant is also watching your surroundings. We're supposed to understand our season. That's why the Pharisees were rebuked by Jesus. Now, they were diligent in the Torah, and they dug. However, like he said, you know, and they could see the physical signs of the weather, but they did not know their spiritual season. And we're supposed to know that. We're not just supposed to put our heads in the sand and say, we're going to be raptured one day, kumbaya. No, we're supposed to be watching. And that's what the 300 in Gideon's army were doing. That's why they were picked. Did you know that?
Right. Yeah.
They cupped the water. And while they drank it, their eyes were alert. They weren't just, you know, down into the water, which the water is speaking of the word, which Jesus is the rivers of living water and the word. Yeah, they were taking in the water, but they were also being watchful.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand how you can go, but I'm by no means, and I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. I'm not saying how I feel the church should be doing their thing. That's not what I'm saying. I only know what I feel, you know, I should be doing. I don't know about anybody else. I'm not trying to put, you know, that's for the Holy Spirit to tell them, but or to bring somebody to them, but. It's just interesting how when you try to tell someone something, and I don't know.
It helps to have leaders to make you aware of things also.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people, you know, when they go to church and they trust the pastor or the leader in the church to make them aware of things, he doesn't do it. He just teaches either psychology or the basic salvation message, and it doesn't become clear, you know, what season we're in. That's our job, to sound, you know, the watchman's horn. We're supposed to blow the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy's at the gate, we're supposed to let the people know. And a lot of people get tired of hearing the watchman, and they say, shut up there. Come down out of the tower. We're tired of hearing you say the enemy's at the gate. Well, now he's already in now.
Well,
he done passed the gate down.
Well, yeah, I know. What are you supposed to do? Not say anything?
Well, that's pretty much the, I guess, the psyche of the people, especially in America. That's
well,
why we have who we have in the office.
Why don't they see this? Why don't I just you know, and see, I'll chisel at something until I figure it out, but I just don't understand why they don't see this deception. It's sick. What Chris Rock was saying, he was calling the president daddy. Do what daddy says, you know?
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Then there was a man calling him God.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of
Lord.
And he's not even rebuking it. He's not saying that he's not either. That's terrible.
Here's another thing that's pretty peculiar, that he is showing up next month on the day of Nisan.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, the same day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem on a donkey.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something?
Yeah. And then Israel's giving him an award. Did you know that?
Yes, Dorothy told me that.
Medal of Distinction. That's Israel's left, of course. Netanyahu is not into this, but they have a liberal part of Israel that is, and saying that President Obama is the most wonderful president that they've known. And I'm thinking, this has got to be what you call strong delusion. This, and I'm not against any man, but this particular president has been aggressively against Israel, sending weapons to Egypt,
mm-hmm.
who actually, the leader over there actually just has said things, I'm talking against Israel like you would not believe, and we're sending F-15s, ammo, Abram tanks, and missiles. So there's something, I think they're getting ready for something, and the Bible tells us what they're getting ready to do. I believe it's like Psalms 83. But the way the United States is involved is actually they're going to supply the weapons and the warfare for these countries that surround Israel and confederate against her.
And what happens when they're stupid. They're hanging their own necks, what they're doing. Do you know what? Well, I know you know what happens, but, I mean, you read the book of Isaiah. I mean, it tells you what happens to a nation when they go against Israel.
It's not going to turn out good in the end.
No, and it's not going to be all that great either, because it happened, it also said in Isaiah, when Israel turned against the Lord and was worshiping all these other idols, that her enemies infiltrated her.
That's what's happening to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read the other day where even the beheadings now are in the United States. There was a couple beheaded in New Jersey. And they caught the man. He stole in their car. It was a white Mercedes-Benz. And he buried them in two different graves as far as their hands and their heads in different graves, because I think in Surah 8:10 it speaks of doing that. So it was an Islamic thing, a jihad. So he's caught, but who knows what they're going to do with him. You know, these days the judges are starting to be, you know, Sharia compliant. So I'm thinking there's no telling. It's pretty amazing what we live in today.
It's...
The Bible says that when they refuse to love the truth and receive a lie, in 2
mm-hmm.
Thessalonians chapter 2, I think verse 11, then they are sin a strong delusion, which causes them to do stuff like this. And it's hard to be understood, but you know it's something spiritual going on, because it
mm-hmm.
don't make even common sense.
Mm-mm. Some of the things that happen today don't make any sense.
But it does let you know what hour we're in. Spiritual hour, of course, you know. I'm not speaking of 6 to 7 or 7 to 8, but the spiritual hour that we're in, we see that the enemy, which is called Satan, is about to wage war, not just little battles we've been going through. All of us go through oppression sometimes and spiritual battles, and some go through storms that's unbelievable, loss of loved ones and all kinds of sorts of things. But he's about to wage war. This is totally different than what we've been used to, and yet many people are complacent, apathetic, lethargic. And that's what blows my mind. Because if we see these things on the news and the physical, and everybody's got a little unrest in their heart knowing something's wrong, then that ought to light a fire under us instead of us becoming complacent, lethargic, and apathetic.
You would think so, but it seems like everybody's turning against everybody. People, especially, one of the things, let's bring up this gun thing. Some people say we should have them. Some people say we don't. Some people, say that, we should go green. Some people, you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Civil war?
Oh, yeah.
So it's instead of turning on who we should be turning on, we're turning against each other. But that's why he said brother against brother.
That's also a spiritual precept that Satan uses. Satan uses the word. He knows the word's power. And he knows what Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand.
Mm-mm.
Divided, we will fall, because it's spiritual precept. It's like physical gravity. Some people think they can fly, and they sing songs about it. But when you jump off something that's high enough to break your neck, you're going to find out that gravity still works. It don't matter if you're in England or even down here in the boot in Louisiana. If you jump off a building, you're going to fall flat to the ground.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nobody's going to levitate or anything else like that. Gravity will work. It's the same with spiritual truth. If you break those spiritual, the spiritual truth of the word, guess what? It's going to work. And the enemy knows that. So if he can keep us at each other and divided, he'll conquer this place. And he'll bust through the church. He won't conquer the church because the gates of hell will not prevail against the Lord's church, but the church as a whole is what I'm saying is going to go apostate, and there will be a remnant. And that's what we're going to see because they're appeasing the flesh, and we're so divided, 25,000 different denominations.
It's just we've lost ourselves. It seems like we've lost ourselves along the way. You know what I mean?
But you know what he's doing, though.
He's cleaning.
He's definitely doing a purge. He's purging all of us.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist said he was going to thoroughly purge his floor, so everybody that calls himself Christian, get ready, and you're probably already going through it. He's purging his floor right now, and it's a beautiful thing, but it's a tough thing sometimes, too.
Yeah, it's hard, that's for sure.
Looking at spiritual mirrors, sometimes you see things that you really thought were gone, you don't want to see.
But if it means eternity with the Lord, man, get him out, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, amen. That's the next thing I was saying. John 14:30 talks about the prince of this world comes. Jesus said, in this same hour of darkness I just spoke of, in Luke 22, Jesus said in John 14, the prince of this world comes, but he can find nothing in me. So what he's coming in the last days for the Christian church, since Christ is the head and we are the body, he's coming to each one of us to see if he can find something in us to take us out. A spiritual influence of the enemy, a Jezebel spirit, you name it, whatever it is, a religious spirit, a spirit of pride, whatever it is of aught, unforgiveness, he's going to come in there and try to find that in us. Crank up the heat and take us out and cause us to depart from the faith. That's his whole job, and he's not going to give up.
Mm-mm.
That's why the purge is necessary. And it's a gentle purge. He shows you what the influence may be, and we humble ourselves and say, I don't want this, Lord. And the Holy Spirit within us becomes stronger and helps us remove it. Mm-hmm. He's the one that removes it. We can't take care of it. But it's awesome to see the spiritual x-ray machine looking through your soul. People don't like it, though. Some don't.
Who likes looking at themselves for who they really are anyway?
You look at it like this, though, it's going to be more of him and less of you.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said it's better to see, to better have eyes to see who you are. Then tell him, Lord, we got to take care of this. Then hold on to it and keep walking, and act like nothing's wrong.
Right. Now, as far as justification, our faith is anchored in Christ and Him crucified, and we are given that status of perfection through what He paid for at the cross. But that doesn't mean we walk perfect. There are people that believe that since they've been saved, that they have not sinned and they've walked perfect. And it just makes me kind of chuckle inside. I'm thinking, well, you just lied. You know, you know, until on this side of, you know, on this side of heaven, we cannot walk in perfection. We can press toward the goal of the Most High calling, as Paul said, and we press forward. But we're going to, there's going to be things coming up in us, in our mind, in our thought system, and the way we do things sometimes and not even realize it. And that's why there was an ignorance offering that Jesus fulfilled through the cross in the Old Testament also. There's things that we do, we don't even realize that it's ungodly before God. We may think we're pretty good in our own eyes.
No, I don't think so.
We need the blood of the Lamb to cleanse us. And then He starts washing us by the water of the Word, which is called sanctification. And that's a daily thing. And the more we allow Him to take out and remove and to conform us to the image of Christ, the greater He becomes in our life, and the more we shine. We are the salt and the light. That makes sense.
Yeah, but just say, for instance, somebody's saying, but you know, Pastor Darrell, I'm dealing with this person in my life who's making me angry all the time, and I've got all this anger built up, and I don't, you know, I want to let it go, but I'm struggling with it, you know, well, what do I do?
The best thing to do is to follow the Lord in the Gospels. When you follow how He handled that, because everywhere He went, there was the same thing happening. You could see people trying to stir up trouble and trying to anger Him and mock Him and call Him Beelzebub and just blaspheme Him everywhere He went. And He handled it, and He said, and then this is not easy to do. It takes the Holy Spirit to pray for your enemies. Because the enemy, Satan, is actually our enemy, but he uses spiritual influence in other people to open their mouth and cause aggression and cause, you know, some type of offense, unforgiveness or alt or just downright anger inside of us. But, you know, being as greater as He that is in us than He's in the world, the Holy Spirit within us, He can help us have peace in the midst of even that turmoil. I know what she's talking about. I've seen it. And matter of fact, I've been in it myself. And what He's trying to do is grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. So He can try to come in. You see, the strong man is in us. The Holy Spirit's strong. He's a strong man, but He's grieved by our free will. We have the free will to act on these things. And the enemy's trying to find something in us, and that's exactly why it's getting worse. Because if there's anger there, he's done found something he can play with. You know how he does.
But and just say, for instance, you know, somebody wants to come to the Lord, but they don't feel as like they're worthy to touch His garment. You know, Pastor Darrell, I've had abortion after abortion after abortion, or I'm an alcoholic, or I drink and I do drugs. You know, what do I do? What do I, you know, how do I come to Christ? I want to come to Christ because I know we're in the last days, and I don't want to be without Him.
Oh, this is the beauty of the gospel, because those are the ones that He is going to. He said the publicans, the sinners, those in the street, because those He had bid to call to the wedding supper, they had something else to do. They refused to come right away. One had land he had to go tend to, and another one had this he had to go tend to. Kind of like what the Christians are acting like now. Many of them, not all of them, but many are acting the same way. So guess what he did? He's going out into the street and bid them to come. And when they turn their heart to Him, He cleanses them. Repentance is just a change of mind, to turn. When you decide you desire to turn in your heart, you don't have the strength to come out of addiction. You may not have the strength to come out of the situation that you're in. Nobody does. But when you desire in your heart to turn from that way of living and turn to the one that just poured his love upon you, because Jesus is going to manifest himself in a special way to those who you just spoke of, like Mary. And she was so grateful. I didn't see the disciples doing this. The fishermen didn't do what Mary did. Mary was so grateful because she had 7 demonic spirits she was delivered of, it says in Luke. And these are those 7 bad ones. She had 7 demonic spirits she was delivered of, and she was in a prostitute. Well, she was so grateful she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And Jesus, he did not ever rebuke her or even bring up her sins, ever. They wanted to stone her to death. And he said, he without sin cast the first stone. And that's exactly. So we can take heart knowing that the Lord is searching for us. Because I've been there. I've been in the street. I've been the worst of those. I've been the black-hearted one, the one out there doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And I came to the Lord, and it was just, I called upon the name of the Lord. And just like it said in Romans chapter 10, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can feel him come inside. It's not religion, it's relationship. You can actually feel the Holy Spirit enter into your heart. And I mean, it was not a work that I'd done. It was not no water. It wasn't any other work. I just turned to him, and he filled me. He forgave me, cleansed me, saved my soul, and filled me with the Holy Spirit. Right there. Oh, yeah, I'd been baptized, but I went down a heathen and came up a heathen. They didn't hold me under long enough down here in Louisiana. They let me up too fast. I come out of there just as bad. Matter of fact, probably worse than I was before. So it wasn't the water that did anything. It was a circumcised heart. It's from within. That's where the power is at. That's going to be the power that... The power is within us to stand during the days that we're in. It's not going to come from the outside. It's going to come from within.
Inside, yeah.
Hallelujah. Don't give me the preaching.
Hey, well, that's what you're here for. Because I can remember when I got baptized, and it wasn't a religion thing. It wasn't about becoming a member of any church. It was something between a father and a daughter. That's what it was.
Amen.
You know,
that's
it was
supposed to be.
My relationship for I wanted to do that for him, and the whole thing was so. I mean, I can just remember going under and coming back up, and just feeling like he was staring at me the whole time, like he was watching it, and the whole thing was just it was just a beautiful thing. It really was. And
that's a declaration of your faith. Before everyone, you humbled yourself and you declared, I am the Lord's. And you better believe he was smiling.
You know what? Because I felt like I was, I felt like I had no business going and asking him to, I can't even explain it. It wasn't even a physical thing. It's like everything that has ever happened to me was out on the table before him. And when I went under and came back up, that table was white.
Amen.
It didn't even have a wrinkle. And that's when I started having a lot of my dreams. And, it's like, it's been so long. And like I said to you the other day, I was like, Daryl, can I get baptized again? Can you get baptized more than once? It's just something between him and you. It's just like taking communion.
Yeah.
That is something between you and him. It has nothing to do with holding the cup with the right hand and eating the bread with the left.
Right.
It's not a ritual. It's something between him and yourself.
That's right.
And you know, it's not even it's a spiritual thing totally. It has nothing At least for me, that's how it is. Because, you know.
Everything in this walk is personal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one way he's preparing us for the day we're in. He deals with us each personally. I mean, I found this out preaching funerals. When you preach a funeral, you may have some of the same scripture that you're using that you used a year ago at someone else's. However, it's totally different. The situation is totally different. When you pray about it, he puts it on your heart. Each situation is personal and different, just like salvation. Each situation is different. Not everybody's saved the same way. Our DNA is different.
Right.
And so we can't put them in a box like people do.
Mm-mm. I sure can't.
And try to say he's doing this or he's doing that. But one of your questions was, how are y'all preparing? And this is one way we're preparing. He's having me preach different sermons about, you know, about the purging, about allowing certain things that's within us to be laid at the altar right now, to be laid at the feet of Jesus, and let him go ahead and cleanse that. That way we have the power to stand, because if there's anything in there, he's going to try to find it and cause havoc.
Mm-hmm.
This is the within. He's going to wage a war. We have battles within, but he's about to wage a war within, and he's going to send his top generals to take out Christians by their faith. Now, many people don't believe they can be taken out of the body, and no one can remove you or take you or separate us from the love of God. However, we have free will. And if he wars against many people long enough and they get into sin, sin hardens the heart. And as our heart is hardened, many times we turn from the faith. There have been many people depart from the faith, just like the scripture says, giving heed to what? Not only doctrines of devils, but seducing
Spirit.
That's who comes. See, they're coming. And that's in 1 Timothy 4:1. Many people don't believe that can happen. That just blows my mind. But there's going to be many on the battlefield. But we also got the physical part. You got drones. You got mini bots, them drones drop. I posted something today on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technology of man, Satan is going to use the chip, RFID chip. He's going to use everything at his disposal because he has no power. All he has is deception. God has got the creative power, so he's going to use man's technology. That's why he's trying to strip the weapons from the people where they can't really fight back. And I don't plan on using weapons to begin with because I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's got the power. I don't agree with them stripping the weapons or the freedoms. That's what Hitler did in, like, 1938. That's what every dictator does to conquer a country. So you have a physical war about to be waged, and you have a spiritual war about to be waged at the same time. So this is a time, like your message says, the opening. It's time to awaken. And it's funny how you use the Terminator, because that was like the rise of the machines. Well, that's pretty much what's happening.
Dorothy did that, yeah.
Oh, have you seen the technology they have? There mm-hmm. are actually people thinking they're going to hold on to their guns and they're going to fight the government like it's the 1800s.
It's not going to happen. And you know
what?
No. Just quickly, you know, I took my son to the National Civil War Museum. And when I walked through there, you know, I bet you if I would have walked through there when I was little, I'm sure I would have seen things a lot differently because of the way the days were back then. But as of walking through there as an adult, all those people died for what? They died for us to have a freedom.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were using the word of God, you know, to stand on. Some of them were. I'm not saying everybody
yeah,
was.
Yeah, they really were.
Yeah, they were.
Both
they were
died.
Using, yeah, I mean,
that's
they were
weird.
Yeah, I know, right? Because I was reading things, you know, that who was the South's general? Was it Davis? Custer? No. I get confused because I'm a Yankee. Sorry.
General Lee.
Yes, that's it. He was even saying things, you know, saying quotes you know, and I was just like, wow, because I was going through the Yankee side, then I was going through the Confederate side, and they were both standing on God's word. They were both sprouting off, you know, both leaders were sprouting off,
they were,
you know, the scripture. So it's like, you know, you see how these men fought, what they went through out in the battlefield, and I just saw all these names, and I looked at these people, and I'm like, they all died for nothing. Did they all die for nothing, or was it just that generation that was free of that? Because I'll tell you what, I'm not saying Reagan was all that, but he wasn't one to mess with, because he would have pushed that button at any point. You know, I mean, I don't know if you ever saw that video, Land of Confusion, by Genesis. At the end of the video, they do it all puppets. At the end of the video, they're having Nancy Reagan and Reagan in bed, and he presses nuke instead of nurse, and because he can't see.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just, you know, I'm not. So, I mean, I'm not saying.
Don't take me back to the 80s, man.
I can't help it. I'm stuck there.
I don't want to start moonwalking again.
I'm just saying that you know, none of this stuff would ever even took place back then. But now, because of we put some guy in the office who came out of left field, out under everybody's nose, and everybody thinks he's great. Why? Because he was on Oprah? I mean, you know, and they don't see what he's. And see, it's not just him though. He's just a piece on the board.
He's a pawn.
You know, yeah, pawn in the chess game.
Yep.
You know, there's different people. There, everybody had something to do with this movement. Everybody.
Yep.
Everybody on the planet had something to do with the way things have gelled out, and you can't just pinpoint one person, you know. And the Lord has he has everybody strategically put in place for this day and time. So, I mean,
with the things that Bush passed, he gave the sitting president more power than the president's ever had, period. And then here comes Obama.
I think because he had little man syndrome.
Yeah, boy, they were definitely mistaken in whether it was, I don't know the man's heart, I don't know if it was where good intent because we'd just been struck, or if it was all a setup, you know, but either way, when they passed these bills and they passed these laws, it gave the president more sitting power, and now he's passed some laws to give him even more power, and this executive decision-making that he's making is unbelievable. And this ought to wake anybody up that he tells Congress, it doesn't matter what you think. If you won't move on it, I will with an executive decision.
His dad wasn't right either.
That's strong. That lets you know the Antichrist system is rising. Obama's just a puppet in the hands of the enemy to where when he finally pulls his man out of a sea of people, as it says in Revelation 13:1, this man's going to rise up and make a peace treaty. And I don't believe it's Barack Obama. There's people just saying it's Barack Obama.
No.
I don't believe he's wise enough to be who this man will be.
No, there's supposed to be civil war happening during this time. Of some sort, it seems like. I'm not saying there is. I don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not.
Be a strike. There'll be different strikes in different places, and this man will make peace after everything's come unglued. Barack, I believe Obama's job is when I was praying in 2008, he just kept coming upon my heart, Abaddon, Apollyon. And as I went to Revelation, I want to say chapter 8, could be chapter 9, there was a fallen angel released from the bottomless pit. And as you know, we cannot see angels. I mean, they, you know, you cannot see the Holy Spirit. Well, anyway, Obama has been inspired by this type of fallen angel to be a destroyer. Now, he destroys the peace in the Middle East. He destroys all this unrest in the Middle East. Don't think they're not involved. They've used social networks to actually stir up Egypt way back then to get Mubarak out. That's why Hillary was on the TV saying, let them have their social networks over there talking to Mubarak. because they were using those to actually gather the people in the square. So this is to cause unrest and turmoil to put the Muslim Brotherhood leadership all the way around Israel to actually help Psalm 83 come to pass. And then it will make this man who rises to make peace, who comes after Obama, look like a Messiah figure. But Obama's got the same spirit. That's why he's going through the motions of the Messiah figure and going to Israel on Nissan and walking in there and getting an award and making everybody think it's this Antichrist spirit. But he's
idols.
Right. The next guy is going to be very cunning, subtle, and people will believe him. And the Muslims will receive him as their 12th Imam, and Israel will receive him as their Messiah, and they will unite in a peace treaty. And it's going to blow people's minds because they've never done this before, not like this. By then, the gas prices, have you noticed they've been creeping back up pretty kind of fast, actually.
Yeah, they're creeping up.
Well, when something breaks loose over there, you can bet the gas prices are going to go sky high.
Oh, definitely.
Will actually have the power over OPEC, because the people of Islam believe that he is their 12th Imam, their so-called Messiah, which is, if you look at their eschatology, actually speaks, it's exactly opposite of Revelation eschatology, the Bible eschatology, end time events. And our Antichrist in the Bible is their Messiah of the Quran. It's unbelievable. It's light and darkness. And when he rises up, he'll have control over OPEC, which will give him control over pretty much the monetary system,
mm-hmm.
the world financial system.
Well, yeah.
And that's when he'll have control over the mark. So you can see it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're preparing all this this stuff over here to strip the United States of the constitutional freedoms, so the Antichrist will have power to rule us also over here. And they're doing a pretty good job, and nobody's standing in their way. If you notice, this is a joke to call Republicans and think they're going to stand.
I don't understand what the public's doing right now. Why aren't they saying anything? Seems like the people in the 60s, and they were all, you know, somebody was always out there burning bras or, you know, women's lib. And, you know, I'm not saying that that was the right thing to do, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, they were laying in front of cars so that they would get their gist of what they were trying to stand for, and now they'll just run over you. I mean, don't even do that now. You know, protesters would do that, you know, back in the day, and you know, now it's just like everybody's quiet. It's like, I was thinking the other day at work, I was like, where's my generation? Because, you know, we were all about my country to the V and all that other stuff. You know, it just seemed like my generation was still, you know, strong and, you know, wanting to say something, you know, stand for something.
Many are scared. They really are. Many are confused, and others are definitely under strong delusion, and that's a majority. And I'm talking about over the world, the whole world. They're actually taking the RFID chip in their forehead in Europe. I mean, you can see it in Revelations 13, 17, and 18, that even though this is technology right now and it's not the mark of the beast, it says the mark goes into the forehead and into the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'll find them putting them in the right hand under the health care Obamacare bill. It's on pages 1001 to 1008, a health care registration device that is placed in an individual. So they have all their health care records digitized. And they're all digitized now. There's no more file cabinets anymore. Everything's on the computer. And so when they put that chip in the people, and they're probably going to start putting it in the nursing homes and the prisons first. But this year is when they expect to do that. Well, they're putting them in there, and it goes into the right hand of all places. Well, in Europe, they're already putting it in their foreheads, and it's trying to come over here. You know why? The reason why is because it's pretty convenient to have it in your hand when you go through the checkout counter. and you just wave it over. You don't have to write a check or whatever. We're getting used to that.
Yeah,
and now
that's mingling. That's mingling the seed, though. You're not supposed to do that.
I know. And then, but the forehead, the actual camera, the surveillance camera picks it up in your forehead, scans it. You don't even have to go through a checkout counter. So everything's for convenience, it looks like. You see what I'm saying?
I ain't doing that.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, no. Because even though it's technology right now, it's not the mark of the beast until we have to deny our faith. When he makes a peace treaty, then people will have to deny their faith to go into the peace treaty. It's a world peace treaty. Now, I don't believe China and maybe another, maybe one other country, maybe Russia may not go with this. I don't know. But he will have problems out of the Far East, is what Daniel says. But he'll make a world peace treaty, and in that peace treaty it's going to be where you cannot say that Jesus Christ is the only exclusive way to heaven. John 14:6.
He's the only way to heaven.
I know. He's the way, truth, and life.
No,
no
one
comes to the Father.
The Father but through.
That's going to be taken out. Matter of fact, it's already written up. There's a hate speech law in America on the books. It was passed in 2009. And they passed it at 1 o'clock in the morning on a military provision bill. And this hate speech law is about Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, about homosexuality. You cannot say that. That's hate speech. And John 14:6, because it causes unrest between other religions. But they haven't enforced it yet. But it's ready for the Antichrist to enforce. You see what I'm saying? They're setting it up. It's setting up right now. Behind the scenes. So that's why it's kind of exciting. Spiritually, it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But physically, you know, if you look at it the wrong way, you can get fear. And a lot of people are scared. I mean, when they see, you know, laws being passed to confiscate their guns and other laws being passed here and there, they see what's happening. Many people do. Maybe those on, you know, what they call the left may not. I don't know. But I know many others do, and they don't know what to do about it, and they get scared. And so they're quiet.
So what do you say to somebody who's, you know, Pastor Darrell, I'm scared. What do I do?
Well, first thing you do is go to God's Word. God's Word is the most powerful tool we have. That is our sword of the Spirit. And God did not give us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. But of power, love, and a sound mind. When you really have faith, and he's actually built our faith, he's given us a measure, and he's also increased it by doing certain things in all of our lives. If you remember, if you think back, there's been little bitty miracles he's done in our lives, each one of us, to build our faith, to show us things that could not have been done in the natural. They were supernaturally done. This is to build our faith like a child. That's how much he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have had something. Some of us have had very dramatic things that the Lord has done in our lives to build our faith. But when you have faith that the Lord is with you, then the fear will leave.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know God is all-powerful, all-knowing.
Yeah, well, he can't dwell in a place where the Lord is anyway.
Oh, you talking about the enemy?
Yeah. He can't dwell in a place where God is anyway.
True. That's what's peculiar about us is in the Old Testament, the temple was type and symbol of us because we become the temple of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, you have the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Now, in the temple, God dwelled where? In the Holy of Holies, behind
yeah.
the veil.
Mm-hmm.
We know the veil was ripped, praise God, from top to bottom when Jesus said, "It is finished." And he paid the sin debt. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
That blood was applied to the mercy seat in heaven, and that veil was ripped, and now we can enter in, and he can dwell in our hearts in the Holy of Holies. But we still got other chambers that we have influence that demons can have influence in. They can't possess one that's got the Holy Spirit because greater is he that is in us than he's in the world. But they can sure come in there and go into the holy place where the menorah is, the candlestick,
mm-hmm.
and the table of showbread, and they can try to block your communication between the Holy of Holies in certain ways by their influence. That's not possession. It's more like oppression. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That confuses many people, but and I don't believe a Christian can be totally possessed. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, we have the strong man. We have the Holy Spirit. But we can definitely be influenced, and there's Christians doing things that is not walking by the Spirit, but they're walking by the flesh. And that's one way of preparation, to like we've been talking about. Let the Lord get all those influences out of us mm-hmm. that may have been in there for years. And even when a demon spirit is cleaned out and you're saved, that influence that had been in there for years, we still have characteristics from that thing. That's
yeah, exactly.
That's why we're supposed not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind through the what? Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want us to read it out of religion or legalism. Read one chapter a night. You've got to read this book right here. No, it's for our transformation. And when that transformation comes, it builds your faith, because that word jumps off that page into your heart and puts you in the story. Every story you read in there, he'll put you right in the middle of it. And you're talking about action. You don't have to watch TV no more.
Mm-mm.
You can get in that word, I'm telling you, and he'll put you right in there with David and Goliath. You'll be right in the middle of it. You'll be going, my goodness. It's not just a dead letter like some people think. Well, I've read the Bible. It's kind of, you know, I've done read it so many times, it puts me to sleep. Well, if you read it with the Holy Ghost, it won't put you to sleep no more.
You know, it's funny, I can remember a time when I would read Proverbs, for just for instance, and I couldn't tell you what it meant. I just couldn't. But now when I read through it, I mean, I understand. It's like so interesting how you understand. You see everything, you feel it, because the Holy Spirit guides you and teaches you, you know, and gives you and gives you the information of what you're reading. It's just amazing how at one point you can. I never thought I'd ever be there ever, because I thought I'm never gonna understand. Why am I reading Psalms? I don't even understand it. But it's interesting how when you have that connection, you can understand it. You can read Psalms 91 and know exactly what that is. You know, you can read, you know, Psalms 109 and know exactly what that is. You know, it's just it's really cool. It's really cool.
Well, praise God, I'm glad you brought that up, because you ask what you would give somebody that's in fear. And Psalms 91 is a very good psalm. And when you read that with faith, you won't be in fear no more.
Mm-mm.
Because 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right side, but none shall come near your dwelling.
Mm-mm.
Because you're abiding in the secret place.
Yeah, of the Almighty, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're there, and you know, that's what I was thinking. You know, I was watching the Ten Commandments the other day with my little boy, and I was thinking, you know, the Lord made a way for them to leave, okay? He also made a way for Lot and his family to leave, although his wife did turn around and just changed her pillar of salt, because you know she wanted what was still in the city. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like he's always made a way for. I'm not saying for everybody, but for those Noah and his family. It seems like all through. I mean, he's always made a way for his people to get out of destruction.
That's right.
You know, and I don't see why this situation would be any different. You know?
Yeah. There are people interceding for family members like Abraham did Lot. There are people praying right now. That's what we need to be doing. Because if they'll just turn their heart towards the Lord, he's going to make a way for them. And he's even protecting them even now. There were people praying for me and you back in the 80s and 90s. I don't know how you was, but I know how I was. And somebody,
well, I wasn't too far behind you, let me just say that.
I was like Paul said, I was the worst of these. But he left the 99 to come after that one. And that's what he's doing right now. There's a lot of people out there. He's leaving the 99 to come after that one, that lost sheep. Because God knows the beginning from the end. He knows our heart. But don't mean he's predestined anyone, like they preach in Calvinism, because it says whosoever will. Whosoever will. I mean, when you come to the Lord Jesus, and all you got to do is turn your heart towards him, he's forgiving. His mercy endureth forever. It's everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
He shows you compassion. He's not trying to condemn or strike us down. But what's sad is I really believe the good part is that there's going to be a lot of those out there in the highways and hedges that's going to become saved, atheists, Islamic, I mean Muslims, radicals.
Yeah.
They're going to be saved. If you read Isaiah 60, verse 7, mm-hmm. the flocks of Kedar was actually where Muhammad originated from, Kedar, the second son of Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they will worship at his altar. So they're going to have an experience along with the Israelis, with Israel. Jesus is going to show himself to many, and many people that's been out there, the atheists and the people that we think we have the most problem with, that many of them are going to have an experience and be saved. They're going to be converted. What the big problem we're going to have is many professing Christians are going to depart. That's what's going to blow most people's minds. They think it's just everybody's going to be added to the church. There's going to be millions depart from the faith. Millions. They've been giving heed to Joe Osteen's. They've been giving heed to the watered-down gospel. They've been giving heed to all these seducing spirits till they don't know the real Jesus anymore. It's another Jesus being preached in the church.
I'm just wondering if that also would have to do with the quote-unquote alien deception as well.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
Because you figure the Vatican is like pushing for, you know, they're the first one to come out with this alien ambassador crap. And then, you know, for something like that to happen, people would turn away. And, you know, when I first started listening to L.A. Marzulli, I had taken this book that he had sent me. He sent me a whole bunch of books just to give away. And somebody, a pastor of a church, had turned it down. He said, I'm not going to listen to this. This is, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of things that you don't listen to, but put it on a shelf just in case, maybe. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not saying that you believe it. And that's not saying that you don't believe it, but just have it there. You know, that's what I've been taught. But it was just the fact that what would happen if somebody would now see these things and, you know, I know what they are. You know what they are.
Yep.
But what would they think would they be?
Well, they're already preparing the masses through the History Channel, ancient aliens and things they are digging up and ancient cities that were carved out of different stones with technology that they did not have 5,000 years ago. And they're telling the truth that there's some things built, like even in the pyramids, that there's no way that they had the technology to do what was done. So we know these are fallen angels according to the Bible, but it will look like aliens in the future. And you say, well, how you know that's coming back? Because Jesus, such as it was in the days of what?
Noah.
If it was that way in the days of Noah, and Jesus said, so shall it be, the return of the Son of Man, then that means in our day we're about to see a deception, which also lines up with Revelation chapter 13. The false prophet will have power to call fire down from heaven. Well, it's not going to be coming from God.
Mm-mm.
So the heavens, he's not talking about God's third heaven. He's talking about the atmosphere. So there's going to be things moving through the principalities of the air that will shoot fire down.
That's what I was saying about these meteors, quote unquote, that have been coming down. I'm not saying that that's not what they are, and I'm not telling you people to not think that that's not what it was. But the first thing that came to my mind was when I saw them, I thought of the Transformers movie that came out when Optimus and all the other Transformers came down. They came down as fireballs. I mean, you didn't know what they were until they started transforming. But, you know.
It's pretty ironic. I know it's a kid's deal, and it's ironic. However, there's some truth in that if you look at it without looking at the movie and the mechanics of it, because the stars fell from heaven, which stars are related to fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lucifer, the morning star. Well, when they fell, he said, I've seen Lucifer fall like lightning, you know, like balls of fire also to the earth. And then they begin to transform into something, some type of like a hybrid, you know, that looks
mm-hmm.
like a type of human, but not human. And that's exactly what we're going to have in the end days. And that's exactly what they did in Genesis chapter 6, as they had relations with the women.
Mm-hmm.
The Nephilim that were born were deformed. They
mm-hmm.
were giants. They were, but they had understanding of technology that humans did not have.
Yeah, we did. And if you read the Book of Enoch, I mean, that's just that'll give you a little bit of insight, because that book tells you right there that they had technology, that they were showing the people things.
Right.
You know. And what was I going to say? I lost it. Darn it, I hate when that happens. If the first couple pages of it, it'll start telling you right away, you know, which angel was, and I'm not saying anybody should go out and read it, but, you know, being a watchman, I mean, you got to know. He said, my people die for lack of knowledge. Well, you got to suck up every kind of knowledge you can possibly get. And, I know what I wanted to say. There are sightings of, people are having sightings, you know, in Mexico and in some places of giants already. Now, I don't know when these things come out. I don't know, you know, Klaus Dohna, who I'm going to have on in a couple of weeks, he's an archaeologist, a friend of mine that's out of Vienna, Austria, and, you know, there's been some things happening. Coming out of suspended animation and
definitely even to deceive the elect.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be all kinds of false miracles. It won't be considered a miracle because it's not of God, but it'd be what's called a lying wonder. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There again, there'll be lying wonders and it'll deceive a lot of people. But you know what's amazing about this is how Jesus is preparing his church to stand.
I know, right? That's what's awesome.
Now, and there's going to be a lot of people come out of false theologies. There's a huge theology. We talked about this before, maybe a couple
mm-hmm.
years ago or a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
about the pre-trib rapture.
Yeah.
And I'm not against anybody that believes that. Bless their heart. That's
mm-hmm.
that's up to them. And that, matter of fact, I can't even say that, but there's sometimes I pray that they're correct, but the Bible shows us something totally different when we go to the Word. So it's best to prepare your faith to stand and allow Jesus to prepare your faith, excuse me, and let him place that measure of faith and that gift of faith in you to stand and purge us. That way those things that are giants or creepy looking, whatever they may look like, and to try to cause fear in the hearts of men, we will have one greater, the Holy Spirit in us.
Well, that's how David, he saw God bigger.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're fixing to go through.
Mm-hmm.
If you read that story of David and Goliath and Samuel, you will see that his markings were 666, the number of man, the number of the beast, and the number of man. 666. If you look in there,
mm-hmm.
there was he was 6 cubits high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the mark. That shows you what's coming. It's going to be a Goliath-like figure as far as the system first. And then you may see, like we've been talking about, things that people are going to believe there are aliens to help us. They will appear as angels of light to come give us wisdom and medical science, to cure cancers, and they've come to help us straighten out the world. There's going to be a big lie, and those who choose to believe it will be given strong delusion. And some are already reprobate-minded because they choose to live in the flesh instead of turn to Jesus and
be saved and walk in the Spirit. But it's going to be amazing, I can tell you that. He knew we would be here. That's what's amazing to me.
Yep.
He knew you before you ever entered your mother's womb. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's deep, though.
Is Dorothy still there?
I don't know.
I'm still here.
Oh, wow, yeah. She's just listening to us jabber away.
Bless her heart. She didn't have a chance to talk in a whole hour or so.
I've been talking in the chat room.
Oh, what are they saying?
Oh, lots of stuff. They've been listening and agreeing with you, Daryl, and Neil and Jim are in here.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Y'all know this?
Hello, Neil. Hello, Jim. Yeah, they're close friends of mine.
Awesome.
Neil was telling me how to start a new, to grow my own vegetables in this log, it's like a half a log. You can put dirt in it and you can grow lettuce. You know, he said, start with something simple. Just grow some lettuce and then, you know, grow some, you know, carrots and tomatoes and, you know, just light vegetables to see how they turn out. So I got to send him pictures on how it turns out.
I don't doubt that the Lord has laid that on many people's hearts.
Yeah, just start, you know.
They got some strange stuff set up in the laws now. It's against the law to even have a garden. Do you know how many people in Louisiana have a garden in their backyard? But it's actually against the law now, but they haven't enforced it yet. It's another Antichrist thing that they're going to enforce later.
You can't, supposedly it's against the law for you to store rainwater.
Yeah. Or if you hoard up good, if you hoard up food, the government can come in and take your
take
food.
Take it. Yeah, they can come in and take it.
So he hasn't put it on my heart to do that, but I don't doubt or judge someone else that he might not have put it on their heart because I'm going to have to eat somewhere. I'm going to be like Elijah, be looking for some ravens, you know. And if y'all happen to be them ravens, praise the Lord, I'm coming over that way. You got to excuse me, man. I'm from Louisiana. I'm just crazy.
He's crazy.
Well, it's time to start your tomato seedlings now up in the Northeast.
I got to see, because I was going to go and buy some stuff at Baker's Heirloom Seeds out of Napa. Well, and Neil said no. He said just go down and get some organic bulbs because that'll just be good at, it's organic. Well, because, you know, I don't want to get any suicide seeds. I want to get heirloom seeds so I can use them over and over again. That was the only reason why I was going to order them from Napa. But there's nothing wrong with me starting it anyway with these organic bulbs.
You don't start tomatoes from bulbs, though.
You know what I mean, bulbs as in onions.
Onions you start from bulbs.
Yes. You know, so he was just, you know, saying, do it like that, and just for now, and then, you know, if you want to order, go ahead. But in the meantime, you know, start growing stuff. Because, you know, you can grow alfalfa sprouts in your backpack. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes, you can. You can grow them right out of your backpack. Well, they do well in the dark.
My goodness. Are we still going to be able to have dessert?
Alfalfa seeds. Sunflower seeds.
I'm kind of spoiled, man. I like my brownie bites.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Is the chia seeds are good for you. That little green stuff that we grow on the pottery heads, it's actually good for you.
And they're
no
sweet.
Kidding.
Are they kind of sweet?
I haven't tried it yet.
Daryl, you need to kill that candida. That's what you need to do. Because
I know
you
won't make it fast. I'm definitely going to have to fast.
You're gonna have to, you won't make it.
That's what he's gonna find in me. I'm trying to, Lord, get this thing out of me. I got a craving, I got a sweet tooth.
That's bad.
You tried to pull every one of them.
The brownie bites.
Oh, yeah, man. I can eat a whole box of them things, man. Pour to a pack, and there's like five packages in there, and I can sit there and plop, 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 plop. They gone.
Oh, my God.
I wake up the next morning, and my belly's a little bit bigger.
Gee, I wonder why.
I'm hyper, so I run it off anyway. But, yeah, it's going to be kind of tough. I mean, you know, we're kidding and everything, but food is going to be – food and medicines that people depend on is going to be very serious.
Well, look at – today I was watching – I was getting some food for my family, and I said, Dorothy, oh, my gosh, Greece is already – they're already walking in bread lines over there. Well, their GDP was like 161%.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm just like, wow.
I believe, yeah.
You know? And I heard that on the BBC. So, I mean, and you were seeing people walk through bread lines. And I told her, I said, right, Dorothy? I said, that's us. That is a preconceived us right there.
I know.
Yep. Right around the corner.
When you're pushing $17 trillion in debt and you got more you're borrowing than you're taking in, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a mathematician to figure out, you know, look, we're going bankrupt soon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to. He just spent $1 million just playing golf the other day.
Jeez.
I mean, so they're trying to actually collapse the dollar, the monetary system, so they can make a digitized monetary system. And brings us back to the next pope that is favored. There's a pope that's favored that actually is that submitted a economic, you know, solution in 2008. His name is Peter Tarkston, I believe. But and he's actually not from Rome. Guyana?
He's where?
It's G H A N A, Guyana.
Ghana.
Ghana. Yeah. Africa. Oh yeah. And he's favored to be the next one in line. He's a cardinal that they're looking at.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him, yeah.
And he's given, him and another man submitted a world financial solution in 2008 when the Wall Street collapsed, you know, the first time.
Wow, this pope here, he resigned last year already. People, it was just done in secret. Nobody knew about it.
Well, it's kind of strange because things are speeding up, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I definitely believe they'll be part of the false prophet system. Now, whether the Pope is actually the false prophet or not, theologians have argued, and some believe he is, and some believe he will be, whatever. But I definitely believe they're part of the system. Kind of like Obama's part of the Antichrist system. There's no doubt. I mean, you can see this man is anti-anything Christ. So, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Or a hybrid.
I just throw that out there, you know. Just saying.
Is that a quack quack?
No, it's Aflac.
They do have great commercials. I love their commercials.
Yeah, I got to give it to them. They have some pretty Aflac commercials. Aflac.
I can't believe y'all have all these influential people, wise people on your show, and then you call the bug man preacher from Louisiana.
All right.
That's got to be the Lord. I
no, come on. You, no, no way. Got to have you on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, you tell me about these people that's been on and is coming back, I'm thinking, man, these guys are professors, archaeologists, and I'm an exterminator, preacher man.
Hey.
But the Lord uses the foolish to confound the wise.
I hate that when it happens. You know, getting older, my brain.
Drink more water.
Yeah, no kidding.
Make the neurons and the synapse run better.
Yeah, I need to lay off the coffee.
that stops them up.
Or maybe you need more coffee.
No, I drink one cup a day, and that's it.
Oh. Jim says eat more fish.
What?
Jim said to eat more fish.
Eat more fish. Oh,
yeah,
why? So I can have fish oil?
That's right.
Okay, well, what am I getting? Is it BP or is it mobile?
Hey, don't order it from down here. Ours has got an oily taste to it.
Yeah, no kidding. That's what I'm saying. No, I eat more fish oil. Yeah, I guess I'll have to take more fish oil.
I tasted a little petroleum in my fish last time.
You're more than welcome to come on the program. We enjoy having you on here, and you know, it's I don't
entertaining.
And that too.
You get yes, dinner and a show.
You should hear his voicemail, man. It cracks you up. He's like, "This is Daryl Mosley." I think you were on a game show.
It's kind of hard to believe I'm really a serious preacher. I'm talking about very serious.
I can't get to your call right now. Bye.
But he does throw some, you know, a little bit of comic relief in there sometimes when it's a serious subject. Because sometimes it can really freak people out. You know, some of these subjects that people hadn't heard before can really throw them in a whirlwind of fear, like you're saying.
Yeah.
So you got to throw something in there, you know, to kind of break the ice and kind of relieve them a little bit. So he uses a crazy man like me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give the truth. You know, it's going to be mixed in. I'm going to put that comic relief in there. But the truth's coming out. I don't know nothing, what else to do. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't study under all these different denominational doctrines or theologians. I went got on my knees and went to HGHS. You ever heard of that?
Holy Ghost God School. Oh,
Holy Ghost Homeschool.
Oh, okay.
It's accredited. My goodness, and I'm telling you, they teach the best doctrine at Holy Ghost Homeschool. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth.
Amen.
And it also keeps the leaven out. A lot of the leaven from different denominational doctors and theologians, theology and ideologies and everything of the preacher, or trying to give him a Jaguar and $1 million home and all that kind of mess. When you just walk with Jesus, you ain't got to worry about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is hard to unlearn all that false doctrine. It really is.
Yeah. That's why Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, they had the Torah. They had the offerings in the temple. They had the whole system set up that God had told Moses to set up. And yet he said, beware of their leaven. Because they're taking and they're twisting it. And it becomes wickedness. Once it gets
well,
in
have
there.
Have you ever tried to read the Tanakh?
Not all of it. Bits and pieces.
It confused me a lot. Well, on the Sabbath, you can put your hand out the window to take something from a neighbor, but only up to the elbow. If you go past the elbow, it's a sin.
Yeah, they added 612 or 613 fence laws to God's word and his law. Can you imagine trying to keep all them laws? And some of them, they weren't even of God. You could only comb your hair so many times. You actually could not worship on the Sabbath. Did you know that? Many people think that's what the Seventh-day Adventists don't understand. The Sabbath, you could not do anything. You could only walk so far. I mean, the Sabbath literally kept what they call it holy. They didn't work at all. That's why when Jesus come healing on the Sabbath, it really confused them, throwed them for a loop, because it was supposed to point to him. The whole thing was pointing, from Genesis on, was pointing to Christ, every bit of it, that we would be saved not from our works, that we would rest in who? Uh-oh.
What is that?
That's a party line. That's what it sounded like. But yeah, there's people trying to live under that still. They're saying that, and Saturday, it's amazing. Some Christians say that Sunday's a Sabbath, and it's not.
And some people have two dishwashers, one for meat and one for dairy.
Do they really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Can you imagine? And they have two sets of dishes, one for meat and one for dairy.
I have two sets of dishes, but I don't. I ought to try that once.
What in the world? That must be a Yankee thing.
No, it's a Jewish thing.
I don't think so. I told you I was going to try it. Let's see if I can use certain bowls. Dorothy, I don't know why you put this stuff in my head.
It's not scripture, Ron. Don't worry about it. Just let
I know.
It go.
I know. I was
they're going to fall for it. In the end, there's going to be a harlot raised up, a one-world religious system, and it's going to be one of works. And Islam has a lot of that, too. I spray their houses, doctors and Muslims, and I go in there, and they got, you know, funny things in the bathroom also. Their bathroom has to be totally changed. It cannot be pointed towards Mecca. They also, there's certain ways they have to clean themselves. There's certain ways they have to do things, I mean, just like that. So they're going to merge together.
That's controlling. Our God is not, he's not controlling.
Well, it's a false, it's what Satan comes and gives you a false holiness.
I get it, but don't they see that the Lord isn't, he's not controlling? It's your free will to decide. But if you decide, if you worship me, you worship me, but I'm not going to control you.
Well, Satan gives an air of what you call a false holiness. And it looks good to the fleshly heart that, okay, this looks like it would be right to our imagination. Anything to despise the cross of Christ, Christ and him crucified, that's where the power and justification comes in. That's where the cleanness comes in, the holiness comes in. It's by his perfect work. I mean, Satan hates, despises it. So he gets us to go into some other works. And guess what? Then people are going to be judged. In Revelation chapter 20, by their works. It says it twice. They're going to be judged by their works, not us. We're going to be judged by the perfect work at the cross. That's where our faith is anchored in. But all those who do such and trust to put their faith in such will be judged by their works. And God commands perfection. And Jesus was the only one ever perfect. So that's where that's why he was crucified. And he gave himself that we may rest in him. And enter into that rest by faith. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
A dairy bowl?
I don't think so.
It said faith, didn't it? It sure does. It said just shall live by faith.
That's what I just said.
Oh, some people say, oh, no, it's my hairdo. I can't cut my hair. But if you get your hair caught up in the vacuum cleaner, you're going to be in trouble. You got to cut that stuff.
You know
what?
I
just lost my faith.
I can remember when I was younger. Like, when I would put my makeup on, I would, every day I'd have to follow the same routine or else I thought that something was going to happen to me. So I put my makeup on exactly the same way all the time.
That's like superstition.
Well, I dropped that a long time ago. I was like, screw this. I'm not going to be controlled by somebody.
Oh, I broke a mirror one time, man, and my wife told me we had 7 years bad luck, and I fooled around, believed it, and we had 7 years bad luck. And when I got saved, I was like, this is crazy, believing all that mess, because I flew around and brought it on myself. As a man thinketh in his heart, there he goes. So is he, is what Proverbs
says.
Absolutely,
yep.
And I believed, okay, I done messed up. And for 7 years, man, it was bad. But it wasn't because there was anything to it. It's because what you put your faith in, what you put your trust in and believe, buddy, you'll bring upon yourself.
Yeah.
It is amazing how that works. It's weird. That's why I study the Word of God. All that superstition stuff is taking people down.
Yes.
Horoscopes. You wouldn't believe the Christians that go for horoscopes.
Fortune cookies.
Man, they ought to know at the beginning it says horror. I mean, do you just want trouble?
Horus?
You know? Hello.
Want trouble. Or Horus. Horus was the son of Tammuz, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Tammuz is another name for Horus, isn't it?
Spirit of divination.
Yeah.
And all that's going to go back to Nimrod.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of it. And then you're going to move on going to the Catholic Church and the statues of Mary and baby Jesus and Sycoramus, Nimrod's wife, and supposedly his resurrection to her birth.
Ishtar,
The baby's birth. It's amazing how people fall for this. If they do a little bit of studying, they'd realize this is
Mystery Babylon. And many are going to go into that stuff because they're still trusting it in their works. It's going to be hard to see. And the Catholic Church had a lot to do with starting Islam. Many people don't know that. You still there?
Yeah, I'm just listening. I have to get ready to go now because I gotta give my son his kisses, night nights, and everything.
Oh.
But before we leave though, I was wondering if you could just close out and you know what, I just want to ask anybody out there who doesn't know the Lord and or somebody you know that out there that might know somebody who's not. Who doesn't believe, who isn't a believer, you know, to pray for them real hard. Remember that? Was I on the phone with you? Yeah, it was. I was on the phone with you, and I said that van in front of me's license plate said, pray hard. Remember that?
Yeah. I sure do. About a week ago.
Yeah. Just pray. Pray for them. You know, if you've got an ex-husband or like I do, who I like to choke.
Did you just say that on the air?
Hey, they take me for what I am. Because what you see is what you get. I'm not hiding nothing. Yeah, I mean I'm angry, but you know I pray for him. You know, I pray that you know, I just pray.
Well, that's how to stay out of temptation.
You know,
the Bible said, "Be angry, but sin not." So there are certain things we do get angry about.
Yeah, you know, it's because of hurt.
Yeah.
So I mean, but you know, it's you just gotta pray. You gotta pray for them, even though you don't want to. You know, you can't stand them, whatever. You know what? Pray for them.
Right.
Pray for, you know, and pray for those out there who are lost. And what's that?
He said, pray for those who despitefully use you.
Yeah.
And do good
and
to them. I mean, you're like, okay. And sometimes you just want to pray them prayers, you know, and Paul's done it before. I bless them according to their works. I want to say it was, it might have been Alexander the coppersmith that done him much harm. And he said, Lord, bless him according to his work. You know, you kind of want to go that route, but, you know, it's probably best, like Jesus said, pray for them, actually be converted.
Yeah.
Many people believe that they have been converted, but they're not converted. As far as, like, remember Peter?
Yes.
Jesus says, Satan seeks to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying your faith fail not. And when you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. So many are still in the flesh, and they're not converted. They're Christians by name, but they haven't let that self die. You know what I mean? And it runs their life. Both ways.
Well,
but that's what we're going
to
do.
I just, you know, ask everybody right now to just pray, you know, just pray for just pray. The Lord will lead you and the Holy Spirit will lead you what to pray for. Just pray. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the ones you don't love. You know, just pray. That's all I have to say.
You ready?
Yeah.
Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord, and we believe that you hear us when we pray, and we thank you that you hear us when we pray, Lord, just like Jesus said at the tomb of Lazarus. Lord, we want to pray now that those who are spiritually dead, that you just raise them, dear Lord Jesus, like you did Lazarus. Those who are just spiritually dead and blind to the truth, Lord, let the light shine around upon them like it did Saul on the road to Damascus, and let them have an experience that knocks them off the horse, the high horse of pride. And they're knocked off that high horse of pride into humility. And when they open up their eyes in humility, they can see you. Lord, I pray right now that those out there that are in the flesh, those who are departing from the faith, Lord Jesus, I pray right now that something turn them back into your bosom, that they fall into your bosom, dear Lord, and your love and your compassion and your mercy.
those who aggravate us and upset us and become an enemy to us because they're the enemies of the cross. And they may not even like us and we've offended in some way or we've got some type of offense between us. Lord, we pray for those right now, Lord Jesus, that we can actually talk and speak to one another again in love and not all this unrest and strife and bitterness, Lord. The enemy has come in and he's sown tares among the wheat. Lord, we pray for unity in you, Jesus, not this ungodly unity of the Antichrist spirit, but unity in the church as a whole, that we put down the denominational walls in the church and come together in love and unity and harmony, all speaking the same thing by the same spirit, because there is only one God, one baptism, and one spirit, Lord Jesus. Help us to walk strong and pray for those who actually despitefully use us. Pray for those who persecute us. Persecution's coming to the church, dear Lord. And yet Stephen, as he was being stoned to death, prayed that you hold that, you did not hold that to their account. As Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Help us to learn the lesson from the cross. Lord, I pray for this radio show, that you take this word and this seed and spread it afar, that people hear this, dear Lord, and they come to you, and that many look up and ask you to save their soul, and that many Christians that are discouraged be encouraged and edified. I pray for Dorothy and Kristen right now, Lord, that you watch over them, that you strengthen their faith, dear Lord Jesus, that you surround them with your peace and anointing in their life and their families. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Whew. Amen.
I got the chicken skin.
Wow.
I call it chicken skin. It's chill bumps.
Yeah, same here.
Woo.
Oh.
On the back of my neck.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on again, and I, God willing, I hope that you come back on again. I would really like to have you back on the program. We enjoy having you on here, and it's I learn a lot every time. Every time you come on, and I just want to let everybody know. Look for another program coming up in the next couple of weeks. Klaus Dohne will be on. I'm going to try to get Larry Taylor to come on with them. I got to give him a ring. Doug Woodward will also be coming on soon. So everybody, just keep praying, pray hard, and I just pray that the Lord keeps you safe and. I just pray everyone has a blessed week, and Daryl, I'll probably be calling you tomorrow.
Okay. It was an honor.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the program. All right, everybody, good night and God bless, and have a great week. Rest of the week, I should say. I will see you next show. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. God bless.
God bless everybody. Bye.
God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night, Miss Dorothy.
Good night.
Okay.